The Lord be with you.
And
with your spirit. From the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to them, to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." And he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. In the early 1800s, the 19th century, there was a little boy that was born to a very poor family in Europe. Very poor family. And when he was about 2 or 3 years old, his father died. So that made the situation even worse. There are days in which he didn't have anything to eat. So he would go to bed hungry. He was so poor that he couldn't even go to school. A relative gave him a book and he basically learned how to read by himself, being gifted with a very keen intellect. His mother was a good woman, uneducated, couldn't read and write, but she had a deep faith. And she instilled in this little boy a deep faith and trust in God, so he decided he could become a priest. So he entered into possibly one of the worst seminaries in Europe, so everything seemed to be against the poor guy. He was ordained and his spiritual director said, "Before you go out into your ministry, spend another year in study." There were a lot of lagunas in his intellectual formation. He obeyed. And then he was in church one day and the sacristan was rebuking this altar server who didn't really know how to serve too well. And this young priest ran to his aid, Bartolo Garelli was his name, and he became his friend. And he started to round up the orphan boys of the town and set up what is called an oratory. Eventually founded a religious congregation, built churches in Italy. And my humble opinion now, I think that he was probably the greatest man that lived in the 19th century in the world, my opinion. His name was John Bosco. I say that because today we don't celebrate, because we don't celebrate evil, do we, no? We call to mind the saddest day in the history of the country. And I started my homily with that story because one of the chief arguments that they use for abortion is quality of life. I don't know if anyone here is involved in the pro-life movement, but that's one of their key arguments. Quality of life. What does that mean? It means that a child has a right to be born in an environment, a milieu, where he can grow physically, emotionally, intellectually, morally, and spiritually. Ergo, or therefore, if that's not the case, better for him not to be born. That's one of their arguments. And if you can remember the story I told you of John Bosco, that totally defeats that argument. Totally does. Okay, one other story, then I'll suggest what we can do. About 100 years later, another boy was born into a really dysfunctional family. Father liked to hit the bottle. He ends up as an orphan boy. So he ends up in a school run by the Holy Cross Brothers. And he seems to be basically a failure. He's not a good student. He likes to fight. He's got a good appetite. If he were here in LA, he'd be a cholo, you know. And he'd probably the head of a pandilla. He was good at that. But one of the brothers there took him under his wings and recognized that this guy was not going to be teaching astrophysics at MIT. No. Nor Shakespeare at Harvard. No, he didn't have that gift. But he noticed that this kid, a little bit overweight, kind of clumsy, disordered, at least he could throw a baseball. And he could hit one, too. It's about the only thing he could do, as well as he could eat well, too, and get into trouble. So when he graduates, some of the scouts in Beantown, you know what that is? Boston. I said, this guy, he could probably come to town. And they hired him. And he became, what we say in baseball, a pitcher. Then what happened, according to many sports scholars, the worst trade in the history of sports. He was traded to a team in the Big Apple. Big Apple, if you know what that means, it means New York. So there in the Big Apple, New York, he said, we don't want you to pitch. We want you to get the bat in your hand. We want you to hit. And he broke all records, even in strikeouts. He hit 714 home runs. And only Hank Aaron broke his record about 30 years ago. Then Mark McGuire. The name of this person, they called him the Bambino because he had a baby face. His name was George Herman. Somebody's saying, who the heck is George Herman? George Herman Ruth. We call him Babe Ruth. According to many, the greatest athlete in the world. Your opinion. Okay? You might say Michael Jordan, okay? So I'm telling you the whole story of two individuals. One a saint, one possibly the greatest athlete, brought up in terrible situation. Poverty and dysfunctional family. So that's one of the key arguments, though, is quality of life. 2,000 years ago, something else happened. There are two pregnant women that, according to modern criteria, should not have had the children. They were children. One was about a girl was about 16 years old. The other one was maybe about 70. What a contrast. What would happen if they went to a medical clinic today? No brainer, huh? Abortion. One would be too young. The other would be too old. Quality of life, right? You know, they both said yes to life. And I'll tell you who they are. I think you've heard of them. Any of you go to Mass on Sunday? One, his name is John the Baptist. The other is the man on the cross. That's why we're here, right? One was John the Baptist. His mother was way beyond the age of having children. And Mary was a teenager, the age of your daughter, 16 years old. They both said yes and brought into the world the two greatest men that lived in that time. So I could probably extend this homily another 2 hours, but you have to go to work, right? I think the basic issue of abortion is one word, lack of trust. Lack of trust. Lack of trust. My baby sister and my mom went to the clinic and they suggested that she have an abortion. I'm about 17, 18 years older than my little sister. She was born easier than me. Now she's married with 8 children. She has a degree from Steubenville in theology. She's an NFP teacher. She's run marathons. What talents! And she has her padrino is the one speaking to you right now, yours truly. It's trust. My mother never doubted. Well, if I'm 43, 44, God will provide. I don't think she ever doubted a second. I'm a little bit older than a lot of women, but Elizabeth is probably older than me. God will provide. So, Frank Pavone, priestforlife.org, is one of the best websites I've ever seen. It's really good. Years ago, I pulled on an article where he gave 50 action items that we can all do. I'm going to just suggest one. Are you listening? Okay, the use of the ultrasound. Know what that is? Ultrasound? Use of the ultrasound. The most famous abortionist in the world was converted by the ultrasound. He was known as the king of abortion. 80,000 abortions he carried out. Know who he was? Bernard Nathanson. And he saw an ultrasound that was very primitive back in the 70s, but it still was good enough. And he saw this baby going up and down, moving in the womb of this woman who is about to abort. And it was like a Damascus experience. a lightning bolt. And he said, "That's a baby. I can't do it again." And he's converted. And he made the best abortion pro-life film up to that point. It's called Silent Scream. He goes on to write these scholarly books. And he was a Jew. He became a Catholic. Do you know who baptized him? Cardinal John O'Connor. You know where? St. Patrick's Cathedral. Baptized, communion, confirmation, and lives the rest of his life spreading the pro-life mystery. If ever there was a profound conversion, that was one of them. But it came through the ultrasound and God's grace. So if a pregnant woman is thinking about having an abortion, allow her to do an ultrasound. She sees the little baby waking up after siesta. Little baby is scratching her little head. Little baby is sucking her little thumb. The little baby's smiling at her mother. Powerful. It saved so many babies already, and it will save many more. So in this Mass, I'm going to ask you a favor. Offer your communion in reparation for the 63 million abortions, surgical. Offer your communion in reparation and prevention. That one day, this country, our Constitution, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. One day, the Supreme Court will change it and make an amendment in which this is prohibited. We may not be too far away, what's going on in politics. We may not be too far away that one day we'll have an amendment in which abortion will be illegal and this country will live out what our founding fathers established it upon. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen.